Our first speaker today is Dr. Bob Caro from the University of Georgia, speaking about intensive new water audit approach and decision support system.
Some of you probably know this will not be part of the graduate student. We're going to talk about a development of a new water audit approach based on spatial mapping, and this is a cooperative project with TORL and the University of Georgia. Let's see, where's my? Oh, there it is. Okay. The on water audits have really three major components to it. One is to collect existing site data. This would be existing ones, things like irrigation plans, water use records, things like that, and then tuning the system for optimum performance, and then a field testing. In the case of traditional catch can methods approaches would be spatial variability or uniformity of the irrigation system, while we're going to talk about a new water audit approach, which will be where did my arrow go? There it is. Which would be soil moisture variability. Okay, traditional water audit, we're going to just review that really quickly. But a traditional water audit on the field testing aspect, you go out there and obtain data on the distribution of the irrigation system on selected areas under low wind situations. There's different spacings and methods for that. And then this would be some of the metrics or the way that data might be presented. You have a densogram, which is really this here. That's the higher water application areas are the dark blue, and the lighter ones are the areas that are receiving the least amount of water. So you do have, for that area that you map, you have some sort of a visual, and you can use that to create some various metrics. Probably the most important one is the distribution uniformity index, which is usually lower quarter, which was based on the 25% lowest readings, and for a 80% or a distribution uniformity of 80 would be considered as good. And you can use it to create other sort of metrics such as runtime modifiers, scheduling coefficients, and so these are kind of the basic metrics that you'd have in a traditional water audit, but it's only spot areas. Okay, now we're going to talk about the new water audit, and the first parts of that are the same in terms of this, but in the field testing, in this case, you're doing intensive site mapping of soil moisture under drier conditions, dry enough conditions so that the irrigation system variability shows up. So it's not after a rainfall or that, but when you measure soil moisture under those sort of conditions, it's not only the variability of the irrigation system that you're measuring, but you'll see soil texture differences. You'll see things such as if there's runoff or if there's a wind influence. So you're picking up really variation in the surface 4 inches of the soil, and that's where the plant's living off of, okay? And we're going to look at that data at different spatial levels. You will use golf courses because golf courses are some of the more complex sort of sites. You could look, we can look at the whole golf course and compare fairways and conditions in fairways, but I'm going to take it down to the fairway level. So we would look at it on a whole fairway level and then down to an irrigation head level and a zone of influence of irrigation head, and I'll explain that later. And then also spacing issues between heads. So there's a lot of different spatial areas that we can use that data to obtain, mapping to obtain data related to. Okay, the system, we'll talk about the TORL system. This is they've trademarked this or it's patented. And it's really, you need to think about this as a real whole system because it's not just the device that goes out and takes the measurements. Which is the mobile device that can take rapid measurements and on an intensive close grid. And why is that important? Well, if you take an American football field, in order to do really spatial mapping to get the most information out of it on small areas, because we have a lot of small areas of variability. And it was on an American football field, that would take about 600 different readings to, on a 10 by 10 foot grid. So you have to have something you can read rapidly and take and obtain the data rapidly. It needs to be proper protocols, and then this is a device that has multiple sensors so that we can measure a number of different factors. But this is the part I wanted to point out as part of a system. If you're going to have those sorts of systems, then one of the things you have to do is develop software in order to, when you're actually taking the data, integrates it all into one package where everything's integrated together and it's all GPS labeled, every set of data. And then, there's another software program that has to be developed that has to be pretty complex, and that is to do the analysis, both our traditional descriptive statistics as well as the geospatial analysis. Anybody that's worked with GIS information, developing GIS maps and these sorts of things, it can take all sorts of time. And so if you're going to have anything that's commercially available, you have to be able to take that data and download it and put it into programs that comes up with a practical decision support system, set of recommendations and all the visuals and all the metric information, and be able to produce that in an hour instead of weeks. And so that's what that total amount of system is. That's what this part here, as we've been working on the last year, is these parts here, is not only to do the analysis and data mining, but also data mining, that would be to go beyond what you see as kind of the initial picture of an area, a geostatistical picture of an area, into the more detailed information, and then present that in a report. The sort of device, this is a look at the device. It takes readings about every 8 to 10 feet, so about 700 volumetric water content readings, for example, per acre. And actually with GIS, because we're reading at such a close grid, you can create the interpolation of between readings can be quite accurate because we're reading at such a close grid, much, much closer than what they would in agriculture. So it's like multiplying your data points by 4 to 6 to 7 times. So you end up with a lot of data points in a particular area. This is some of the volumetric water content, and this is what we're going to concentrate today. In the surface, 4 inches, but we can also get penetrometer resistance, salinity, topography, and using that to create slope and aspect information. It's all GPS labeled, and then for the plant, normalized different NDVI information. So it's a multi-sensor. Reading plant as well as soil, and we're only going to concentrate on the soil moisture for the whole area. In terms of a fairway, here would be just the raw data on a particular fairway. Dark blue is higher moisture levels, light's the lowest, and it's going from less than 10% to over 50%, fivefold difference. Quite a bit of spatial variability. These are irrigation heads. These red or blue areas. And we also, a lot of times, use standard deviation maps, presentations of the soil moisture, because standard deviation really helps to highlight the driest and the wettest areas, the extremes, okay? And so this would be a presentation there, and that's the normal map, but it's hard to make decisions many times off of that. This particular area, a lot of the maps that I'm using in this area is an older system. It's not a well-designed system, and so it shows a lot of variability. Okay, so one of the first metrics we'd be able to do is look at just some of the traditional statistics off of different fairways. This is different fairways, and you've got the minimum levels, the mean, maximum, range, standard deviation, coefficient of variability. This soil moisture uniformity is similar to the DU, except it's based on soil moisture data. Okay, and so it's like for distribution uniformity, a soil moisture is taking like the lowest 25% of your readings and divided that into your average of all of your readings, and multiply them by 100, so you get a percentage value. And so, and in this case, we use 85% as a good, because there is soil moisture does have to have a higher DU than what the irrigation, what would be at the catch cans. Okay, this particular system is not very good, and we look at different air. And one of the things here, like this particular fairway here, there's a four-fold difference in terms of maximum, minimum to maximum readings. And standard deviation, what you want is you want low standard deviations and low coefficients of variability of the data. The more uniform the site, the lower those will be. Okay? And we'd like this out here, the soil moisture variability, to be 85% or so. There's different. So that's kind of a standard set of metrics in terms of just traditional metrics. Another way you can present this, and by the way, the data is presented a lot of times on Google Earth in order to put the maps out there. And one way to do this, for example, is a map that just takes a particular fairway, and we just look at the 25% of the lowest readings. Where are they located? Because, see, it could be an irrigation head system that causes lower, or it could be just because this is a sandy area. You start seeing a lot of area like here, that's usually a soil texture. If you see single individual areas like that, that's an irrigation head problem. You could do the same thing for taking, this is within the fairway, you could take it across the whole golf course and show the lowest 25% of readings on all different holes across the golf course. That actually will be a different, somewhat different reading. We can do it, flip it, and do the highest 25%. What are the wet areas? So we can actually go out there and look at those areas and have it. So there's different ways of presenting that data. What's really one of the most important thing on the data mining of this is to get into our smallest unit is the zone of influence of the irrigation head. Okay, what that would be if we took a particular irrigation head over here, the zone of influence is essentially halfway between every, it's polygon sort of thing, halfway to the nearest head. So it'd be for this, this arrow keeps disappearing if you don't touch it. So for here, this would be a zone about like here, coming halfway over to here, over to here. So it's kind of a polygon representing halfway to the next. That's the major zone of influence for that irrigation head. And so we're looking at that zone. And what one way to look at that is to use the same sort of statistics that you use on across the fairways. Is here's the, let me go back for a second. There's four heads. This is one that's pretty wet. Here's one that's got some dry areas on either side of it. This is pretty uniform. So four is pretty uniform. One is not, and eight's kind of in between. Here is one, and it's let's go to four. It's the best one. It had 90% distribution uniformity, and you can see it has a low CV, standard deviation, and here's it's a two-fold difference. If you go down here to number one, you're up to a four-fold difference and very low coefficient uniformity. So that's talking about that zone of influence. And then if we go in and look at, this is number eight, it's kind of in between there, and that's that zone of influence here, and we have little pop-ups that will come up on the screen that shows, some of this is the same data you just saw, but another thing is there's a correlation between the compaction or penetrometer resistance readings and the soil moisture readings here, and you see it's negative, that means the soil moisture goes up, penetrometer readings goes up as soil moisture goes down. Penetrometer readings go up, rather, the soil moisture. So there's otherwise, and this is for NDVI, turf vigor is here, is that as turf vigor goes up when soil moisture is higher. So what it's showing here is it really is influencing soil for in this zone. It really is influencing soil hardness. It's influencing turf performance. And then we have another pop-up map here where we're looking at four quadrants away from that irrigation head as the soil moisture. What's the distribution of the soil moisture away from that? Is it consistent across quadrants? This is the black line, the average of all quadrants. The red is the southwest. So it's going this way here. And you see the red one here. It goes up in moisture, reaches there and goes back down. That's this one. This orange one is the west, northwest. It's actually goes down and then back up again. So that's, we can look at the distribution in the quadrant away from the head and actually use that to make some other decisions in terms of one is come up with a directional. What have we got?
1 minute.
Okay, we can come up with pop-up heads that identify a head by a color thing. That, and this is a directional variation. These are ones that have anything that has greater than 15% variation. And what that means is variation from how one quadrant to the next quadrant. Is there a lot of variation in how those responses are? That means there's, and then we can look at ones where there's not much variation in coefficient variation. So these would be good heads, and these would be not. And then we can actually describe the shape, on the average shape of the distribution of water away from the head. And this gives us an idea of maybe some of the problems, because some of these different problems have a different shape away from the head. Is it a donut shape? Is it high moisture, low moisture? Is it uniform, direct down? Is it drop, low moisture and up? So what we're doing is we actually try to identify, say, the top, whatever percentage, I'll just pick a percentage, say, what's the top 10% of the heads that's got major problems? And then to give an idea, some idea of what those problems might be. Where are they at? And when you pop up the map, there'll actually be a color, a code to help you identify what that problem is. So we also do a spacing, which is identifying spacings on between heads in order to get an idea of if there's a spacing problem that's inherent just in the whole system or just on a few areas. So that's essentially a quick overview of this new water audit. And this is something I think that can be very useful in the future in terms of looking at things wall to wall in much more detail than what we've been able to this day. Thank you.